Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com. Here in my home office that's not located in Iowa City. I'm not in my car this time because I don't want to be out in my car at 2:13 in the morning and get arrested for breaking in my own car or being accused of such. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast following Purdue's 70-55 loss at number 4, Iowa. It is brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. So please keep all of them in mind for whatever services and or goods you might need. We appreciate all of their support. And here we go. Purdue once again loses 70-55 at number 4, Iowa. Kind of a game that didn't necessarily unfold as one would have expected. This sort of profiled as your classic shootout. You know, Iowa came in averaging almost 100 points a game, inflated for early season results as normal, but they are a really good offensive team, obviously one of the best in college basketball. Purdue had been trending upward offensively. They'd been playing very well coming off a game against Notre Dame in which they scored 88 and barely turned the ball over. Iowa has historically been a bit of a turnstile defensively. You figured Purdue was going to be able to get what they wanted offensively. It was just going to be a matter of whether they could cash in enough, and they could cash in more than Iowa could cash in. Seemed like a game that was going to be played in the 80s, you know, maybe even the low 90s. That's the way kind of things go with Iowa. Purdue seemed up to it, but it was the exact opposite. This was kind of a Big Ten rock fight in the sense that Iowa was held almost 30 points under its average. They only scored 70. That was far and away a season low. You know, that's a positive thing for Purdue, but Purdue only gets 55 points, one more than its prior season low at Miami that, in light of the second half kind of debacle there. So Purdue did not hold up its end of the bargain offensively. I think a lot went into that, one of which was Iowa was surprisingly engaged defensively. And I kind of wonder if maybe getting Iowa one game after they gave up 99 to number 1 Gonzaga in South Dakota maybe wasn't a bad break for Purdue from a timing perspective because maybe they were actually motivated to defend. But Purdue also, you know, had a hand in all of this too. Well, first of all, Purdue didn't shoot all that well, and they've been able to, you know, be buoyed by pretty consistent shooting all through this season so far with some fleeting exceptions. But they've been able to shoot pretty well on average this season. Shooting's going to come and go. That's something that you're not always going to shoot 40% from three-point range. That's just a reality of basketball, no matter how good you are. But where Purdue really, you know, kind of struggled here was that everything Purdue had been offensively coming into this game, it was not at Iowa. And that was confounding. That was, I'm sure, frustrating for everybody involved. Purdue turned the ball over 14 times. That doesn't sound like an unbelievable number, but they turned the ball over only 6 times at Notre Dame, or against Notre Dame, only one live ball turnover. So obviously a lot of their past issues came back to bear. It started right away, 13 seconds into the game. Purdue fumbles a handoff, turns it over. Later, they throw a too high degree of difficulty pass into traffic. It gets turned over. This was what Purdue was doing before Notre Dame. This was a reversion to Purdue's prior form. And what the Notre Dame game did was it showed everyone in no uncertain terms, hey, here is what Purdue is capable of offensively when they don't turn the ball over. Now, Notre Dame is not the 90s Pistons, the 80s and 90s Pistons from a defensive perspective, not by a long shot, but that game nonetheless was your classic shining example of, hey, Purdue is capable of being really good offensively when they just take care of the basketball. And that seemed like kind of a come to Jesus moment for Purdue, in the sense that maybe this was a watershed kind of moment where it all clicked for them, and suddenly, you know, a hyper awareness to the turnover issue was going to kick in, and all of a sudden, you know, Purdue was really going to take off. That clearly was not the case. Again, 13 seconds into this game, Purdue fumbles the ball, turns it over. Seemed like you were right back where you started before Notre Dame. You know, this team, you know, I've said this about a couple Purdue teams in the past, is that, you know, perhaps they're just a little bit of a of a spaz in the sense that, you know, Mason Gillis used the term after the Notre Dame game about the Miami loss that Purdue just sort of lost its mind in the second half. And I think that term sort of applies a little bit to the Iowa game too, because when you watch that half, when you watch this whole game, you know, Travion Williams did some things he hadn't been doing when he was playing so well during the three-game winning streak. Took a three that was really ill-advised, made that too high a degree of difficulty pass I referenced earlier. They preached to him simplicity, being simple, making basic plays. When he does that, he's usually pretty good. When he gets a little bit too cute sometimes, you know, that's when maybe things go sideways on him from a productivity and consistency perspective. I think he took a little bit of a step backward in this game because he did some things that he probably were a little bit outside the bounds of reason in this game. Sasha Stefanovic very uncharacteristically threw a behind-the-back pass in transition off of his own steal, which he gets credit for too. But just a really unfortunate situation there, just kind of a momentary lapse of reason where he made a really ill-advised pass at a bad time. Purdue could have gotten 2 points there. Instead, it ends up being 2 points for Iowa because they go the other way with it. You know, with under 4 minutes to go, this is a 7-point game. So maybe if you get a bucket there, it's a 5-point game. If Iowa doesn't score there, maybe it's even a 3-point game. Maybe you have a better chance there. I know that's an extreme hypothetical and a little bit of a convoluted scenario, but, you know, you did have a chance here in the final few minutes of this game, and every little point did matter there. So that sequence was a big one and not something Stefanovic normally does. He's normally a pretty under control, self-aware kind of player, and that was just very, very uncharacteristic of him. But that was the kind of night it was for Purdue. You know, Eric Hunter is coming off almost a flawless game against Notre Dame from a guard play perspective. No turnovers. He commits 5 turnovers in this game. I can't remember all of them to exactly itemize them. I don't know if he was doing anything he necessarily shouldn't have been doing. I'll go back and watch the video tomorrow to kind of assess that. But that's a lot of turnovers for your point guard, obviously. You know, Purdue's backcourt turned the ball over quite a bit in this game. And, you know, that's part of the reason this game turned out the way it did. You know, holding Iowa to 70 points is no small feat. How much of that, it's not like Purdue was flawless defensively. They lost way too many shooters. Didn't do a good job guarding Luka Garza outside the three-point arc. That's a very difficult matchup for Purdue. Very difficult matchup for anyone, but especially for Purdue as big as they are. But Purdue lost some shooters at times. By and large, holding Iowa to 70 points, if you had offered that up to Purdue before this game, they would have taken that in a heartbeat because you had to think you were going to have a pretty damn good chance to score mid-70s to low-80s, if not even more so, against this team. Offense just did not hold up its end of the bargain. A lot went into that. Iowa certainly deserves some credit for being engaged defensively for the first time in years, from what I can remember. But Purdue just did not do what it needed to do offensively. And that's got to be frustrating because Purdue seemed to be trending upward in so many ways. The juniors were playing so well. None of them really played their best games tonight. Purdue didn't turn the ball over last game. While one game was not, you know, the cure-all for this issue for Purdue, it did seem like a turning point. Obviously, it was not a turning point. You know, just Purdue had been trending upward in so many different ways, and a lot of that stuff kind of went poof tonight. And that's kind of the frustrating part of this, is that this kind of stems Purdue's momentum a little bit. Now, that being said, you just lost to the number 4 team in the country on the road. So making too much of this one game probably is a little bit premature. But had Purdue, you know, played better and still lost to the number 4 team on the road, I think that would be a lot more palatable than what Purdue and its coaches are going to see on video tomorrow in terms of how different they were in a bad way from the Notre Dame game to the Iowa game. And that's what's going to be a little bit maddening and a little bit hard to explain about this one. Had Purdue just played a little bit more under control, had Purdue been a little more savvy, had they been a little bit more careful, for lack of a better term, in how they were doing things offensively, this game could have turned out very differently. So it didn't, though. And, you know, Purdue has to kind of go back to the drawing board here and figure some things out before playing Maryland on Christmas. Maryland is not the uber-talented Maryland team you're used to seeing. I would very much like Purdue's chances in that one, but we'll see. Purdue's got to get better from this Iowa game, that's for sure. So that's what I got from the old home office here in West Lafayette, not Iowa City. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast. It has been brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. Sorry, it is 2:23 in the morning, and my memory is not so hot right now, so I had to kind of labor through that. I will talk to you guys again after the Maryland game on Christmas. I will not sing carols to you. I will talk to you about the Purdue-Maryland game. If you want to sing carols while you listen to me, you can feel free. I'm sorry, that didn't make any sense, but it's 2:23 in the morning, so you're just going to have to bear with me here. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.